everybody. Welcome to today's episode of Random Reflections. This is episode 2, and Lori and I are going to be talking about trading partners. Lori, why don't you tell us what you look for in a training partner?
I look for somebody who is going to listen to instructions from me and care enough to try their best and follow through and following those instructions. And, you know, somebody who really cares enough and is like-minded in dog training too, you know, so it's, there are many different ways to train dogs. But you know, there are certain people that just train completely opposite of me, in respect to how they deal with errors and such, but we won't get into that. But, somebody who is like-minded in how I train dogs, but most importantly is really somebody who follows instructions. And I guess like the biggest example for me would be that they listen enough to try their best to carry out what I'm saying. The example would be like, if I was asking somebody to play judge on my young dog and I needed them to just come in and apply a little judge pressure, that they knew enough, or I told them to just make sure you come in carefully, not to scare her, and that they follow through. Because there are incidents, I'm sure many people out there listening have had training partners who have trained with people who, people just kind of do whatever the heck they want, or people aren't even paying attention to what you just said, and they're not even helping you. So that's really important to me.
Yeah, I agree. Like, following instructions for me is super, super important. It's more important than your actual dog training experience, because what the person does is going to have a huge impact on my dog and on what I'm working on in that moment, right? So, for instance, I've had a situation where the person acted as judge, put my scent article out. My dog runs out, comes back with the scent article, and my dog, like, I'll be like, did they pick up the right one? And they're like, I don't know. Well, but I need to know, right? Or you should be watching and telling me. Or if I walk away from my dog and I turn around and I say to the person, did my dog look nervous? And they're like, oh, I wasn't looking, right? I need that information. That information is important. And also what you do and how you do it matters, right? Because, for example, with my advanced dogs, when I have someone, I'm often working on ring picture, right? Letting my dog see what the picture looks like that they're going to see in the ring, which is the person acts as a judge. So if the person at some point does something unjudge-like interrupts my flow or starts asking me a bunch of questions, my advanced dogs, they're going to go right away. They're like, oh yeah, okay, this isn't ring picture, because this is not what ring picture looks like. Right. So now everything I did prior to that is just erased, right? Because you changed ring picture and now my dog's like, yeah, whatever. So now technically all that work is, you know, wasted basically. Also you could, if I say, for example, don't only come so close to my dog, or don't put a lot of pressure on my dog, because maybe my dog's been nervous or my dog's been struggling, and I turn around and you're standing like over my dog and my dog's like standing there going, oh God, oh God, oh God. Well, now my training just went backwards.
Right.
Right. And that's pretty frustrating, and it's not fair to my dog because now my dog is struggling.
Yeah.
So for me, a person that's coachable is the biggest factor. So when I had my canine rehab facility, I had young girls that worked for me and they knew nothing about competition obedience. They could have cared less, right? They didn't think it was that fascinating. But I used them as distractions and for pressure, like when we have breaks at work or before, after work. They didn't mind helping me.
Right.
But they had no idea what they were doing. But they followed my instructions. That's right. What mattered. And they had good dog sense. So if I said to them, if I'm walking away and you're walking towards my dog and my dog starts to look nervous, stop. Don't right. keep going. And that I could trust that they would do that. They really tried to follow my instructions. Sure, sometimes they mucked it up and then I just go, okay, no big deal, but next time do it this way. And then they would. And that's what was important to me. They never learned the words. Like they never learned to say, this is a heel on leash. You know, even if I said it to them, they'd say it backwards or upside down. It didn't really matter. My dogs are just hearing words and they're following along next to me or behind me. And so now my dog gets the opportunity to see that picture. So I think that's the most important thing. Is it optimal if I train with somebody like Lori? Yeah, because then I have the best of both worlds. I have someone that's super experienced, that knows exactly what I'm doing and why, someone that can adjust their help on the fly without my instruction. But that doesn't always happen, right? Like very few people have that option. If you do, you're super lucky. Most of us are just trying our best with maybe one training partner or maybe no training partner. And we just have to get help where we can.
Yeah. And that, I think that's a struggle for a lot of people, either where they live or what they have access to. I think that as long as you're asking somebody to help you that you trust and that you feel that they could, it doesn't have to be, like you said, it doesn't even have to be somebody who trains dogs, but it could be a member of your family or a good friend. And you just have the sense that this person should be able to follow instructions and help me out, then that's the best you can do. Then that's what you do. But it is super important to, you know, the importance of having somebody helping you is there, because we do need to put ring picture in. Ring picture without a judge isn't ring picture, right? So if you can get somebody to act judge that necessarily isn't a dog person, as long as they follow instructions, then that's going to be super helpful for you.
Back when I was doing field training, I needed help. And during the week, you know, like after I worked in a school system at the time, so like after school, I needed somebody to throw bumpers for me. And there was nobody around me that trained. So I was like, let me see if I can hire some kids. So this show goes to show you how old I am. Because 1,000 years ago, when I was in high school, kids actually wanted to work. And they had this board and there would be index cards up there. And people would call the school and say, like, I'm having a party this weekend and I want to hire a kid to help me with the party or whatever. And right. So they would have these cards up there and I would always go and get jobs that way, babysitting jobs, whatever. So I go to the local high school and I'm like, hey, do you have a book? They're like, what? We don't have that. So I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. So I asked around at the school and a lot of the kids didn't want to work. And then somebody was like, oh, you know, I know some of the kids in this, I forget what they called the class, but it was basically the kids that are the naughty kids, right? Whatever. I don't know what the proper term is now. The kids that just struggled, right? So anyway, somebody knew one of the kids and he had a friend. And really, these kids just had terrible home lives, like horrible home lives, right? And they ended up being the best workers on the planet. Like they were amazing. They tried so hard and they learned so quickly and they were just unbelievable. So much so that the one kid, actually, I was going to a competition and I was like, I had like a retired dog. And I said, either or both of you want to run this dog in the lowest level. The one kid was too nervous. The other kid wanted to, and he actually did, and he actually passed. It was super fun. But anyway, the moral of this story is I hired them. I just paid them, not a, you know, ton of money. And they, I bought them so, I mean, these kids, they were just so happy because I bought them sodas or I bought them coffee. I brought snacks. I didn't pay them a whole lot of money. They just, I don't know, they just liked doing it and they were perfect, you know? So I would 300% go back to doing that if I needed to. I've actually recently been thinking about trying to find somebody, even maybe for the summer, just to help me out. And it was really good for them too, because they got to, they just felt really good about it. They loved it. They really liked it. So there are always options. Sometimes we have to just completely think outside the box. Like we get so kind of caught in like, well, like I could very easily say, well, there are very few people around me that train and that train the way I do and that train obedience the way I do. Okay. Yeah, that's true. But you know what? My training partner that I train with once a week is basically like a novice A handler, right? And I just taught him what to do and he follows the instructions. So I think we just have to think outside the box and be willing to try different things. And sometimes you have to, you know, I've had some people that were not very good. As a matter of fact, they were less than not very good. And so I just moved on, you know, okay, well, this isn't working out. I can get frustrating for sure, but you just have to keep trying.
You do. And I think, you know, when we train, like when I go to train my dogs, like it's like, I'm serious about it in the sense of like, I'm taking this seriously. This is really important to me. I'm investing my time and training and spending time with my dog. I've got some goals set for whatever they are. I can recognize when somebody's not caring about training at the level that I am. Like, so this is a thing where I can pretty much pick it out within minutes if I'm training with somebody and they're over there yada, 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 yada about all this stuff going on in their life. They haven't even brought half their shit in the building yet. Like my dogs are already warmed up and I'm like, dude, time is of the essence. I've got a plan. Like, and you can just tell, like sometimes certain people, like they're just not as invested in the training or the training session. And that right there to me is a big flag because I need somebody who's taking it seriously and who is going to help me and who cares enough to do it right. So when people ask me, I've got students who are like, I really do want to find a training partner, and they'll mention some people and I go, nope. Because I know I know who those people are and how they are and how they train their dogs. Like, so, you know, those things are super important when you're picking out a training partner. Like you said, it doesn't have to be a super experienced person. My training partner for a long time was also a novice A person, and she was perfect because she cared and she wanted to learn and she listened, and that's all I needed her to do. She didn't have to be super experienced. So,
and I think, you know, look, everybody doesn't have the same goals. Like, it's like for a fair amount of people, training is a social activity, and that's totally fine, because if that's what it is for you, right, and you train then with other like-minded people for whom it is more of a social outing than serious, quote unquote, serious training, however you want to define that, or anywhere in between, that's fine. Then find like-minded people, right? Then if you're like, yeah, I don't want to have to like follow instructions, or I don't want to have to, I don't really care if my judge talks to me and about what they did yesterday in the middle of my run, then that's totally valid and fine. Then do that, right? So I think that's one piece. But again, you should be like-minded people together, right? Which isn't to say I don't BS or talk or have right. any social aspect either. But when I'm training my dog, like, you know, I'm 100% in that moment, and it does matter what I do with my dog. But if it doesn't matter to you, that's fine. Having said that, then be aware, don't complain later that your dog either, you know, quote unquote, only does it in the ring, right? Because like I had a, I had an instructor once, and she was an instructor, and she's a pretty advanced trainer. I'm not going to throw her under the bus. And she's like, I forget if she, I think she called me or whatever. And she's like, my dog only does this in the ring. I'm like, all right, then send me. So she was going to a match. I go, tape the match and send me the video, right? So she sends me a whole run. Well, all I needed was the first 15 seconds, and I already knew what her problem was. Because yeah. she walks in the ring and she's like, doesn't even go to her setup spot, and she's BSing with the judge. And then she like meanders over, and I have seen her trial. That's not how she does it in the ring, right? So I call her up. I'm like, hello, what were you doing? You don't do that in the ring. Why are you doing that at the match? Oh, you're right. I didn't realize I was doing that. Well, of course your dog's going to be confused when you go in the ring.
Right.
Because it looks different, right? So if you're going to be more casual about those things, then that's okay. And if you're like, yeah, I know that's going to affect my ring performance and I'm not worried, maybe you just want to qualify or whatever. And then that's perfectly valid. So just make sure all those things are in alignment for you. And then you can train like that, and you can have like-minded training partners like that, right? So I think it's just finding someone that's on the same page as you in terms of what you're trying to accomplish when you're training.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree 100% for sure. You know, and I mean, I would say I'm probably only training with somebody maybe once or twice a week, you know. It's Same. Not like I have it every day. I don't need to do that every day. You know, but when I do have an opportunity to train with somebody, a training partner, then I'm going to take full advantage of that. I think people forget that too. They'll be like, well, what should I do? I'm going to go train with somebody. I'm like, well, you need to plan with the fact that you're going to have a judge. Like, those are the opportunities, because you train alone the, you know, 5 out of the 6 days that you train, you need to plan around the fact that now you have a judge. So that should be your training session, is to utilize your training partner for judge pressure and ring picture and distractions and stuff like that, because those are the things that are hard to duplicate when we're training alone.
Yeah, that's like a super good point, because I think sometimes people, especially people that are in a similar situation where they don't have access to a human a lot, right?
Yeah.
Is you should not be doing things on that training session. You should not be doing what you can do alone, right? Or you should not be doing what you can do at a store, right? Yeah. I'm not worried about this person creating distractions for me, because that I can do in front of the Walmart or in a parking lot, right? What I need for that person is what I can't get from all those other scenarios, right? Which is like the person putting judge pressure on the dog as it's coming to front, right? Yeah. Or doing a stand for exam or certain things like that. That's a really great point, is that you need to say, okay, on the days I have a training partner, this is what I'm going to work on those days, right? And the days when I don't have a training partner, I'm going to work on these other things. I've also found that sometimes, and now it depends on the situation, I will try. So for example, if my dog is comfortable working in a store and there's a checkout, people are in the checkout line, then I might use those people as judge pressure, right? So I might put my dog 4 or 5 feet in front of them. Right. Or I once had this is hilarious. This is so long ago. I had Tyler. He was a really bomb-proof dog, right? So I'm out at the Walmart. I'm kind of off to the side and I'm doing scent articles. So I do the first one myself. I scent it. I tell him the weight. I walk out. I put the article in the pile. I walk back. I send them. Next article, I'm scenting it. And as I'm scenting it, the guy that was doing the carts is standing in front of me and he holds out his hand.
No way.
And I'm like, I handed him my article because it was Tyler. He was pretty bombproof. And I'm like, either the article will be there or it won't, or who knows what'll happen, right? So I had to kind of guess. He didn't know to say, like, send your dog, right? I'm like, I guess I'll send him now. Send him. Dog runs out, finds the article, runs back. I'm like, well, I'll be a monkey.
You're honored.
It was like perfect. And because like Tyler, when he came up to take the article, he was like, oh, it's a judge. This is the real thing. Right.
Right.
I didn't talk to him. I didn't look at the guy and say, oh, hi, do you want me to hand the article? Do you know where to put it? Well, that would have ruined it. Right. Exactly. Like, but I didn't. I just kind of, but having said that story, it can also go in the other direction. So I'm at the ShopRite one time and this guy's like, wow, you know, and I said, oh, well, would you like to help me? And so my articles were like in front of a pillar. And I said, and he says, sure. I said, okay, well, take this, you know, when I'm done scenting it and put it out in the pile, right? So he does. I send my dog. My dog's looking and looking and looking and my dog can't find it. And I'm like, fuck. I'm like, what the hell? He had put it like all, this was a huge square pillar, like on the other side of the pillar.
Oh boy.
And I couldn't say like, what's wrong with you? That's not the pile. Cause you know, some random guy.
Right. Trying to help you out.
Yeah. So that one didn't work out too well, but sometimes if you get lucky, like there used to be, it's gone now, which is a shame. There was like a pharmacy, right? And all like the punk kids would hang out, like, but out in front and smoke and I don't know what, you know, what they do. They just act tough together. So I'd start training my dog and like first they're all busy acting tough, but then they watch my dogs do like some things and all of a sudden they're like, wow, lady, that's cool. Wow. And then I'm like, gotcha. So then I'm like, okay, I'm going to stand my dog right in front of you. Just do you. Don't do anything different. Yeah. So then I'm able to use them.
Right.
Right. Give them simple instructions. And they actually were, these kids were always pretty good. They mostly followed my instructions. So sometimes you can get lucky. I've had some students in stores where like an aboard employee is watching them and they recruit them to do things, you know?
Yeah.
So sometimes that's an option as well. We just have to be willing to maybe take a little bit of a chance or maybe sometimes just, you know,
utilize,
kind of see if they'll do it, you know?
Right. I find most people, like if you get people who all of a sudden are stop what they're doing and they start watching you, that's when you're like, oh, yep,
I probably got this person.
They can help me. Yeah.
They can help. And kids, kids love to help. And they're actually like, I train down.
They're good. Kids they're are really good. Because they follow instructions.
They do. They follow the instructions. And they're like so happy to be involved with it. So I've recruited lots of kids, you know, and they're it's been great. So yeah, for people who are really in isolated spots or they have just nobody who they can think of to partner up with, then you just got to get a little risky and creative out there when you're taking your dog out and about, for sure.
I have one student. Oh my God, I'm so jealous of her. So she has a granddaughter. I don't know how old she is. I would have to, if I had to guess, I would say like between 8 and 10. And so she has her distract, and I love these videos because she like goes to put the article out and does a cartwheel on her way out. And then she puts it in the pile and she's supposed to walk around and she's skipping and she's doing a somersault and she does all this random stuff.
I love
and
that.
I'm like, that's the best proof, because not only is it highly entertaining to me, right? And it just reminds you of like how free kids are. Because sometimes I'll say to somebody, do something different. And it's like, they don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Or I have to say, move your arms. Okay. Then I have to say, do this instead. Like, they're not creative. Like, kids are just like constantly doing this, that, the other thing.
Yeah,
I never know what this girl's going to be doing, you know, I never know. And so the dog just gets used to constantly different things happening, which is perfect, right? Because if it's too predictable all the time, then the dog's like, oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. Like one time, so when I was training Zesty for Novice, my training partner always tended to stand really close to me. And then I went to a match with Zest. Oh boy, the UPS guy's here.
Oh boy.
Then I went to a match and the judge was like off to the side and Zesty was completely befuddled. Like he was like fixated on her because he's like, what is that person doing all the way over there?
Right.
And so that was just a reminder, like you have to change it up all the time.
Yeah.
And so if you, that's the nice thing about having young or like those, the young girls that worked for me, I mean, they were in their 20s, but they used to do silly things, right?
Right. Yeah.
They're young. Like they just,
they're free spirits.
Yeah. They're free spirits. They're not bogged down. And it was great for my dogs because my dogs used to think it was hilarious because they never knew what they were going to do. And they're like, what are you doing now? And my dogs used to be like, all right, I'm not going to, you know, I know the game. I'm going to ignore you, whatever. But yeah, it's always, it's like kind of entertaining. Like, and then adults and they just get so like single-minded and like
stuck.
Do it like this. Do it like that. Follow at this distance, you know?
Yeah, right. It's true. We become so boring.
I know.
Boring and stuck in the mud.
I know. See, now, like, I'm super motivated. I'm going to find a kid or a teenager to help me this summer. If for no other reason than to, like, entertain me.
Right. Keep things fun and fresh, right?
Yes. Yeah.
It's true. It's so true. So
it is true. All right. So I think that's good.
Yeah.
People can, as always, you can post questions, comments, ideas. If you go to our Canine Connection Podcast Facebook page, that's the best way to communicate with us.
Yeah.
And I think we're good.
I think we're good. Thanks too. That was great. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Sounds good.